And we're about to welcome into our show, we hope, Mr. D.V. Sweeney. I gave him a nice intro earlier, and you do have to go and check into seeing his new, it's going to be re-released, and that is Two Tickets to Paradise, and I've already watched it, and it's got amazing performances, and I highly recommend it, and the interaction between all of the actors is just superb. We welcome into our show Mr. D.B. Sweeney. A pleasure it is to speak with you, sir.
Oh, so nice to speak to you. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. You've got a tough act to follow, sir. You just, you're up after Jackie Mason and Lieutenant Colonel Alan West, not to mention the folks that came before. And tough act to follow, but I'm sure you can handle it.
Well, you know what? W.C. Fields said never work with dogs, kids, or Jackie Mason. And I'm very, very proud to stand on the shoulders of giants.
Absolutely. I have to say, with all of your accomplishments, and they are many, one of my favorites, well, actually my all-time favorite, is Strange Luck.
Oh, wow. Thank you. That's one of my favorites. And people don't mention that very often because it was so short-lived, but I love that show. I was a great character, and we had some great scripts, and, you know, it's the network television business is very random sometimes, and that was a show that should have had a longer run.
It should have had a longer run. I think the Saturday night slot killed it.
There's some kind of conspiracy there, too, because, you know, these days if Lindsay Lohan, like, has a bad game in tennis, it's on DVD. And for some reason, Strange Luck is not on DVD. I don't understand. Like, that smacks of conspiracy to me.
You, as I mentioned, I gave you a terrific introduction, which is fine. And you are the director and writer and producer of Two Tickets to Paradise. And I really enjoyed that movie, and especially liked the interaction between you and Mr. McGinley.
Well, you know, it's John's a real old friend of mine. You know, we've been we were at college together at NYU, and you know, we've known each other forever. And it was real important to me that in this story of these three lifelong friends who are approaching middle age and nothing really has happened for them. I've seen so many movies where the main characters are supposed to be friends, and the first one that springs to mind is Wild Hogs. And you know, I don't think John Travolta and Martin Lawrence, I don't see them growing up in the same area code. And I don't just mean, you know, I don't just mean because one's white and one's black. I mean, those guys could not be more different. And then you got the other two guys, Tim Allen and Bill Macy, and we're trying to, you're asking the audience to say, these guys are old pals. And I don't buy it for a second. So it was really important to me in Two Tickets to Paradise that we had three guys you could believe were good friends forever. And I'd known John for over 20 years. The third actor in the triumvirate, Paul Hipp, was a friend of mine for over 10 years. So it was really important to me that you have three guys where the audience immediately sees them and thinks, these guys really are pals.
And what was realistic about that was the fact that you all fought. I mean, that's what friends do. They argue.
Yeah, I think in a lot of male relationships, once it gets past, you know, 5-10 years, everybody starts to fight like brothers as much as friends. I mean, for those relationships to last, I think there has to be some skin and blood, you know, if not literally fist fights, you know, you know where the other guy's soft spots are and you're going to probe them.
Yeah. And Mr. John McKinley, he's so good. As are you, of course.
He's really a fine act.
Oh, yes, he is. He's amazing. One of my dearest friends from childhood, and I live in the Philadelphia area, and parts of this movie are set in the Philadelphia area. Chalfont, as I recall.
That's where my cousins are from. That's why I placed it there. And also my co-writer, Brian Curry, and I, we felt like he's from Boston, I'm from New York, and we felt like there's been plenty of Boston movies, plenty of New York movies, and we really don't want to talk about the specific idiosyncrasies of those places. We wanted to talk more about a regional kind of type of guy, not, you know, like the guy that's more universal than just like a New York guy or a Boston guy, and also a guy of a certain age that, you know, the popular media in a certain way want to kill off, you know, the straight white male.
You were also on TV, you were in Lonesome Dove?
Yeah, that's right.
And Jericho?
Jericho, right now I'm shooting the event for NBC, which starts on September 20th on Monday nights at 9.
And oh,
it's really?
Really?
Good. Yeah, it's a big kind of conspiracy. It's like X-Files meets the West Wing is what somebody said, which I thought was kind of apt.
Well, that could be dangerous.
Yeah, it's really fun. We got a really good cast. Laura Innes from ER and Blair Underwood's playing the president, and we got Jelko Avinek, and a bunch of really, really good actors. And, you know, we've done six of them already, and it's really good. But like I said before, you know, you never know which way the wind's going to blow with network television. So hopefully NBC won't lose their nerve, and they'll stick with it, and the writers will keep doing what they're doing, and it'll be a good long runner.
What is the premise of the show? I mean...
Well, we don't know. That's kind of part of, they're not even telling the actors what the ultimate secret is. The event is the title of the show. And the first episode of the show involves somebody hijacking an airplane and trying to fly it into the president's compound. And the president in this fictional case is home state is Florida. So they're trying to fly a plane into his compound in Florida, and it's thwarted by some pseudo-supernatural means. And that sets in motion a whole chain of events where we discover that there's a massive cover-up that even the President of the United States didn't know about, and the control of the world hangs in the balance.
It sounds, it's original at any rate. It sounds different for television.
It's ambitious. You know, they're really swinging for the fences, and they like, you know, when they shot these scenes with this airplane, the aftermath of this airplane crash, they didn't just do a green screen and have a few pieces of airline wreckage laying around. They actually bought, I think it was a 737 or 757, and they cut it up, and they put it in, you know, they trucked it out to the Mojave Desert, and they shot 3 days out in the desert with people, you know, pretending to be victims of the airplane crash strewn in the sand. And you know, you just don't see that stuff anymore. You don't see that kind of ambition, especially in network television. I mean, that's like $100 million movie stuff that they're doing. So very exciting to see that, and I'm just really excited to be a part of it.
I'm glad I hear your dog barking and not mine.
You know what? That's actually, I'm here in Glendale, California right now, and a coyote walked down the street. I swear I'm not making this up. And the coyote looking for a poodle to snatch. And I think he just found something to engage. So it's very exciting. I feel like I'm on a wild kingdom.
Well, we have a new dog, and we're not used to one that barks. And this one likes to bark, and it's been, I've brought new use to the mute button several times.
Yeah, well, I've never had a dog. I value my sleep too much, and if any dog was going to bark and keep me up, I think the relationship would not last.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This is our second dog, and dogs and people do not wake me up.
No.
Not a good move. I'm another person that values sleep as well. Tremendously. You have been, well, first of all, one of your biggest fans is a dear friend of our show producer, and that is Deborah Burlingame.
Oh, wow, that's great.
And
I got to meet her once, and it was a great short meeting, but I've admired her work, and, of course, you know, everything that she represents is what really, she's a special person.
Absolutely, and you, sir, are as well. You are a tremendous supporter of our men and women in uniform, and I found, dug up somewhere, that not only, of course, you can tell us about your letters from Hollywood, but you have also visited over 100 military installations?
I'd say over 100 visits. I don't know if it's actually over 100 installations, because I've been to Fort Hood on many occasions and Camp Pendleton and a few places I've been to more than once. So, I mean, I don't know what the number is. I'm not trying to track it.
But a lot. Let's say a lot.
A lot. And it's been a great pleasure of mine. And, you know, in the wake of September 11th, I could tell that our country was going to be facing, you know, long and difficult struggles. And I just thought, well, what can I do as an actor in Hollywood to, you know, support that effort and support our men and women in uniform? And the first thing that I did was to make this movie, which I thought would be a kind of a tonic, you know, to people. It's not a political movie. It's a comedy, and it's a comedy from a certain point of view, which, you know, I wouldn't say it. Somebody called it a Red State Sideways, which I take the compliment that they meant, but it's not really political. It's about the American values that I think we all treasure, and, you know, it's okay for guys to be guys and girls to be girls, and if there's a couple of beers mixed in, nobody's going to complain. So that was the first aspect, was making this movie, and then I thought the second aspect would be, you know, taking it and taking myself out to the troops and showing it to them and just sort of saying, hey, you know what, I'm here, and there's people that you don't see on CNN that have you back and support you. And so I started doing it, and I've tried to do something once a month and then once a year overseas, because I thought that's about the commitment of, you know, if you're in the reserve, you know, they do unless they're deployed, like we've been leaning on our, obviously our National Guard a great deal. But if you're in the normally like a weekend warrior, you do 30 days a year and then 1 weekend a month. And I thought, well, that's a pretty good model, and I'll try to stick to that. So, you know, I've been trying to, wherever I'm filming or whatever I'm doing, I go out there. I was in Louisiana last month. I went to Fort Polk. I'd never been there, and that was very exciting, a very historic place, Tigerland. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've gotten to meet so many amazing people. I mean, there's incredible benefits to it, too. I mean, there's guys, you know, at a forward operating base in Afghanistan let me fire their howitzer. I thought, how many people
get to fire a howitzer? That's a guy thing. It's really a guy thing.
Yeah, well, you'd like to fire a howitzer. Come on. You fire a 155, it'll change your life. And so I've had all these great experiences where guys are thanking me and letting me play with their cool toys. And I don't know. So I feel like there's a lot in it for me, too. And I see what a positive effect it has to break up their routine and take away some of the edge of the boredom. And so, you know, it's been a great honor for me to shake hands with a lot of our men and women in uniform.
We have a call. We have a chat room. And in our chat room, there are people talking about your Letters from Hollywood group. And also, a person who I happen to know is a big fan of the movies that's not employed in them. He's even a bigger fan when he's employed in them. Aren't you Jewish? Anyway, his favorite was The Cutting Edge. He still likes The Cutting Edge.
You know, I've been in about 60 movies, and I might make 60 more. It doesn't matter. It's going to say toe pick on my gravestone.
It's going to say
so
what?
Toe pick, which is the
oh,
bad
yes.
one.
Yes.
So I tried to escape that movie for a while because I was like, well, can I be known for something a little tougher instead of a figure skating movie? And you know, Lonesome Dove or Memphis Belle, or can people know me from something, you know, Fire in the Sky? I don't know anything. But, you know, you don't get to choose the movie that everybody associates you with, and I'm just glad that it's such a good movie and that people associate me positively with anything in that regard. I mean, there's a lot of people that work 10, 15 years in the business you know, never make anything anybody wants to watch a second time. So I know I've been very fortunate.
And being we actually have a caller on the line that would like to speak with you, and she's a very special military mom.
Well, it would be my pleasure to speak to her.
She'd like to say it, but before we bring on Naughty, that's her nickname, before we bring Naughty on, I'd like to say I also saw you in House.
Oh, wow, okay. Yeah, that was a fun time.
Yeah, why would it be?
It's a great, great show. Great, Hugh Laurie's a great actor, and David Shore, the guy who's the brain trust, you know, the guy, the head writer and the creator of the show. He's a hockey guy, so I've known him for years and years from playing hockey games in L.A. And he's a real good guy.
Hello.
Hello.
So, Naughty.
Naughty.
Go for
Hello.
It. You're speaking with Sweeney. We are speaking with D.B. Sweeney, terrific actor and. Accomplished and also so avid supporter of our troops. Go ahead, Naughty.
I'm, as Pat said, a Army mom, kind of a special one. I wanted to thank you tremendously for supporting my sons, which if they wear a uniform, they're my sons. And I have to say this. My son, his name was Special Olympus Michael Phillips, and he was killed in action. But his favorite movie from the time he was very little has always been The Memphis Belle. He knew it line for line. It was his favorite movie of all time. Absolutely adored that movie.
Well, ma'am, I don't even know what to say. And then in the light of your family's sacrifice and service, you know, the idea that you would speak kindly of a movie I did and that it meant something to your son, it means more to me than I could communicate to you.
But you know what? You honor him and everyone else that has fallen every time you support his brothers in arms. That's how we honor our fallen, by taking care of the ones still serving and their families. And you
well,
do that.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
He sure does.
Thank you for him. Thank you for you.
And Memphis Belle is on my movie shelf. It gets watched often, and like I said, it was my son's favorite movie of all time.
Well, thank you so much.
I'd share that with you.
Thank you, Naughty.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
God bless you.
God bless you, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you for your son's service and for your family's. You paid the price, and that's why we get to have the lives that we have. Thank you.
Indeed. We have this show, as I think I wrote to you, we are dedicated, we exist to support our men and women in uniform. That's our goal. And everything that we do focuses on that. And why not?
Hopefully you're going to help me recruit more letter writers for Letters from Hollywood. Anybody who hasn't seen the website, it's lettersfromhollywood.army.mil. And I'd love to have Mr. Jackie Mason write one, and anybody else that you have on who supports what our troops are trying to do around the globe. It's a short message. As anybody who goes on the website, you can see some of that. You can see the past messages from people like Cuba Gooding and Joe Mantegna. This week we've got Casper Van Dien, we've had Leanne Tweed, and a lot of great people. And there's some shorter messages, there's some longer messages. And if anybody, these are not messages that are written by publicists to try and promote some upcoming project. I very strictly vet people to make sure it's their message, but it doesn't have to be Shakespeare. It can just be, I was never aware of what you guys do until I met this guy, or until I saw this movie, or until I, whatever. But I'm grateful and thank you, and whatever it is, just some kind of personal thing that's not cookie cutter, movie studio PR stuff. That's what I'm trying to avoid.
Yes, and anybody that, I'll have to think of a very sneaky and, what is the word I'm looking for other than sneaky, but you get my point, way of working that into my conversation.
it doesn't take long. And if they just want to dictate
it. Big word I was looking for.
You know what, I'm going to give you my cell phone number, and if somebody wants to make a letter from Hollywood, if they just want to dictate it into my cell phone, I'll transcribe it. I'll make sure it's taken care of. I'll go to their publicist and get a photo. All they have to do is just have something that's personal or hopefully heartfelt message to, of support, and we'll run it. The Pentagon is behind this project, and STRATCOM, and they're really trying. Yeah, I mean, to get an Army website is a big deal, so they don't just give those out. So they're very interested in engaging the project and trying to support it. So, the letters are being seen extremely widely, and all the feedback that people have been leaving is great, and we're looking forward to more of that. So it's been really exciting to, it's a lot of work, but it's been very exciting. I think it's already, hopefully making a difference if people feel a,
our
like,
producer,
there's a lot of people.
Our producer, as I mentioned previously, works very closely with Deborah Burlingame on the 9/11 Families for America.org and on several other sites as well, Keep America Safe and the Coalition to Stop the 9/11 Mosque, etc. And he is also he spent a lot of time working with the Mill bloggers, and so he's going to share that, what you're doing with them as well. And hopefully he's writing me little notes that he promises that he's going to share that with the Mill bloggers to see what we can drum up from them as well. So that's
great.
Wonderful.
Thank you. That's what I can get.
And when is your two tickets to paradise, when is that being re-released? Has it been re-released?
It's coming out September 14th, and this movie is really personal to me. It's obviously I started writing it back in 2002, and it's been a long, long journey for me. So to have it finally come out right now is the end of a long road for me. People, I don't know if people may be aware of this because I've told this story before, but the genesis of the movie was. In the winter of 2002, I'm a New Yorker, and I was sitting in a bar with a couple of buddies of mine who were firemen, and they had spent the last, however many hundred days going to funerals, just about every day, sometimes mm-hmm. 2 a day. And then at night going to the bar and having a few too many maybe, and so one night I'm sitting with these guys, and I said, why don't you take a night off, why don't you go to the movies? And they fell off their chairs, they had their biggest laugh since September 11th. And the guy, when he recovered enough to speak, he said, movies, nobody makes movies for us anymore. And it hit me in the middle of the forehead like a dart, and I thought, I don't know how to make movies necessarily except from the role of an actor, but I'm going to try and figure it out. And so we started writing it, my buddy Brian Curry and I, and it took all these years. It was released in 2008 by a studio that was corrupt, and they stole all the money and really didn't distribute it properly. I sued them, I got the rights back, so now, to have this chance for the movie actually to get out in the marketplace is really just a gift. And I risked everything I had. I put all my money into it and all the money I could borrow, and I was happy to do that because I wanted to get the word out there. I wanted to get this story out there, and so at the end of it now, I'm not going to probably make any money because this studio will probably steal the money too, or maybe not. but hopefully, I just want everybody to
join the club
movie and enjoy the movie.
Yeah. Speaking of tickets, you are also involved with the Veteran Tickets Foundation.
Yeah, I thought that was a great group out of Phoenix. Who all they do is called Vet Tix, VETTIX, and all they do is collect tickets from sporting events, from cultural events, and distribute them to active duty military and their families and veterans. And that's it. There's no obligation. There's no nothing. It's like, hey, you want to go to the NASCAR race in Phoenix? Here's a ticket. Thanks for serving. And I just thought the purity of that was so beautiful that I wanted to be involved with them. And when they reached out to me, I thought, yeah, sure, whatever you guys need me to do. So I've done a couple things with them, and I'm hoping that idea catches on. I mean, there's a lot of our companies that, a lot of corporations that I'm not going to name because I'm not working for anybody, but there are companies out there that get it with our military, and especially a lot of the baseball teams and, you know, and NASCAR, of course, you know, where they get the whole deal with what our military does for our country. Unfortunately, in New York and L.A., where most of our media emanates from, they don't get it. You know, people don't know anybody in the military. They have a Marxist radical view of what America's role in the world should be. And so that can be a frustrating conversation. But, you know, there is a lot of good news out there about people, you know, supporting the military. And anyway, I'm just trying to do what I can to support those efforts.
As we had the discussion earlier with, his name is Mr. Andrew Sullivan, who has a couple of very important websites concerning what's going on in New York City right now. He is an amazing man, and we talked about New York City, and we talked about how important it is to keep, how important it is for regular people to keep up their support of those who serve us, both in the military and in the FDNY and the New York Police Department. And this audience can't thank you enough for what you're doing. And we hope that we see you. We're going to look forward to the event. Let me see if I can remember it all. After Jackie Mason, one never knows. I actually played New York, New York right before you came on.
That's great. That's good.
The old one. The one from with Frank Sinatra and Gene Kelly. And I can't think of his last name, Jules. Can't remember, but the musical. Great music. I love it.
I know what you mean. I can't think of it either.
Yeah, I can't think of his last name. He was taller than the other two. and we hope to see you. And when does the event premiere?
The event premieres September 20th, 9:00 on Mondays. That's the first one. I'm not in the first one. That was the pilot. I was hired after the pilot, but then I'll be in at least the next five or six after that we filmed, and we'll see how it goes. Hopefully we get big ratings, and maybe somebody writes in and on the internet or something says I should stick around, and then maybe I will. But you know, it's a capricious business, so I never make any long term plans.
Well, don't buy any ripe bananas, as they say. And also you have the event, and you have two tickets to Paradise being re-released, and with any luck, you may be in another House episode.
Who knows, right?
Yes.
One other thing I wanted to mention for my friends on the West Coast. Next Saturday, I'm going to be involved with an event called Ride to the Flags, which is obviously a commemoration of the events of September 11th. And again, a salute to our military. We're going to start a motorcycle ride at Point Magoo Naval Base up on the coast of California from L.A. And we're going to ride down to Pepperdine University, where there's an incredible array of flags that have been set up, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful thing. And you know, to me, if you mix a Harley-Davidson motorcycle, or any motorcycle for that matter, but let's face it, it should be a Harley, with an American flag, that's a winning day. And then you add the U.S. military and veterans, and I can't think of a better way to spend September 11th, which, you know, so people can contribute to it. If you Google Ride to the Flags plus Point Magoo, you know, we've got some great organizations that are helping us out, and they're trying to raise money, obviously, for families of the military. And so, you know, it's just something, if you're on the West Coast, you're not doing anything else, you want to come down to Pepperdine and just wave to the motorcycles when they come in, or if you want to contribute or something, that'd be great. Or if you want to ride, you can ride.
If you send me some specific links, just so I get it right, we can do our best to post it at some sites that will be seen around the nation. And so,
oh, that's great.
Related to supporting your troops, et cetera. And we know people who know people, and you know how that goes.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, you know, I will say this. If any of your listeners can go out there and buy my DVD when it comes out, Two Tickets to Paradise, I swear that if anybody lets me direct another movie, it's going to premiere for our troops just the same as this one did. And this movie was first screened at a military base in Germany because I couldn't get country clearance to go to Iraq at the time I needed to go. But I took this movie to the troops first, and if I get to make another one, I'm going to take that to the troops first too, because I think that's, you know, I don't care about any Hollywood red carpets. I want to see a bunch of people taking a blow and getting away from their job for a minute, and just as a way to say thank you. And that's my pledge to anybody who buys this movie. If you keep me in business, I will I'll pay it back to the troops.
So we want to keep an eye out for the event, which is September 20th on NBC, Mondays. Thus far, these things change, but it'll be NBC, I'm sure. And
NBC has 2 Tickets to Paradise on September 14th. Anywhere you can buy a DVD, if they don't have it, ask for it. They'll get it. And I promise you.
On Netflix, I know that.
Yeah, Netflix is good, but it's better. You're going to want to watch it 2 or 3 times. So if you pick one up, Amazon, or you know, it's not going to be expensive. It's not one of these Hollywood things. It's going to be $25, you know, $12, $13, $14, somewhere in there. And I guarantee you're going to feel like you enjoyed it. It's John McGinley from Scrubs and Ed Harris and myself and Moira Kelly from The Cutting Edge. The best soundtrack of any movie in the last 5 years, Bruce Springsteen, Bob Dylan, Dire Straits, Stevie Ray Vaughan, Bowling for Soup, Delamitri. Your favorite band is in there. It's a road trip movie. It's guys having a laugh. It's non-political, non-controversial, but it's an American movie, and it supports what this country's all about.
God bless you, and we thank you so much for being here. We hope you'll come back again and update us on the event. And, again, send us the links and some information, and we'll spread it around.
Thank you very much. Keep doing what you're doing. It's great. Thank you.
God love you. Thank you, sir. And
all right. Take care.
You too.